Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Hey, we're listening to the HR Power Hour, and today we are talking with Jacques Santucci, Opus Consulting Group. It's a management consulting firm based here in Portland, Maine. And we're going to be talking about business acceleration, corporate renewal, and exit strategy. Jacques, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You know, Maine's economy is a unique place. It's such a beautiful place to live, but it suffers from some unique challenges to grow. What are some of the things that you're seeing that are happening in the state today that make the strategies that you talk about important?
Well, let's make me this in perspective of where I'm coming from. As you can hear from my voice and accent, I did not grow up in Maine. I moved here 16 years ago, very randomly, and I would have never thought 16 years later that I would still be here. And a French-English group brought me to the U.S. and brought me to Maine especially. They bought a company in Maine. And I remember at the time wondering, where is Maine? I have no idea. And the internet, you know, in 1999 was not what we have now, right? There was no smartphone and even internet at home. So I opened that big atlas and looked for Maine, and I saw Boston and Montreal, and I saw a green thing. I'm like, well, this is where we're going, in the green part here. And I discovered something that is pretty unique. It's a place with a lot of talent, but a lot of fear and a lot of unwilling to take some risk. And I would have never thought I would stay that long, but moving here with an international company and for a couple of years not even looking at what the local economy was. It was a yacht charter company, and we were in the tourism industry. I was traveling a lot. And one day I turned from outward to inwards and looked at Portland economy and looking at which businesses and who's doing what and starting to network. And I realized that this is a place that can grow, a place that's got a lot of opportunity, but we have to get out of our own box.
When you say get out of your own box, Maine is a relatively conservative place.
Yep.
Though there are elements that are progressive, if we want to talk about it, especially the Portland market, it's probably a lot more progressive. And it's one of the best places to live in the country, according to many, 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 many surveys. People talk about there's almost like two Maines, right? You have below Augusta and above Augusta. Do you see that as well?
I see it a lot. And actually, there's almost three Maines. There's below Augusta and above Augusta. And there's the people live here but don't work here. And I meet a lot of people who have businesses. They live here, but they don't do anything. You know, they don't invest here, or they look outside of Maine for things that they cannot find here, business wise or life wise. And that's actually something that I've been trying to work on for the past few years. I was very lucky to meet a couple of people that really helped me around 2003, 2004. With finding a job here and you know, going through the green card and the visa. And so now, you know, my wife and I are American citizens, and it's long gone. But at that time, I realized that we need to all work together to change Maine. And in 2006, turned into the consulting world, realizing that with the skills that I could bring here and the experience, and I'm not trying to be arrogant here, but, you know, working for international groups and coming from Europe, you know, I found that it was very difficult to find a job because Maine does not welcome different profiles. So, you know, working for Ernst & Young, Universal Pictures, and working for international group and coming to Maine and looking for a job was interesting, hearing the comments. And so turning my career to consulting was a way for me to try to help Maine businesses with the skills that I think I can bring and then other people can bring and then get to the next level.
So one of the areas that is interesting that you work with is a lot of main startups, right? A lot of startup organizations. Talk to me a little bit about where you see, first, let's start with, where is the startup situation here in Maine? Is it improving? Is it flat? Or is it declining?
Well, let me tell you a little bit about our firm, to again, put that in perspective. So we started Opus in 2009, Opus Consulting Group, focusing on business management consulting. We help businesses get to the next level, and we partner with our clients through transitioning time. And we are a small team. We are six in Portland with two or three other people in our, I would say, galaxy, helping us on different opportunities. And we work with startups, but also existing companies. And existing companies that are trying to grow, but also existing companies where the owner is thinking about what is next for me, and we call that exit strategy. But on the startup part, I've been involved with a few startups, and I see different type of startups. There's the person who's got an idea and trying to create a small business. And there's a lot of this in Maine, you know, very small business, one or two people. And I've been trying to focus on the next level of startups, which is, okay, we're going to start with one or two people, but we're hoping to be 30 people in 3 years or 300 in 10 years. And I think that's where Maine needs to be, not to be afraid of growth, not to be afraid of bringing capital to Maine, not being afraid to bring talent to grow businesses. And, you know, we hear on TV or on the news about, you know, tax incentive and things like this. I agree, you know, everybody needs those tax incentives. And the state is doing a pretty good job with the Top Gun program that really try to spark some good startups and then create that creativity around startups and business. But I think, you know, it's our job to do more and bring more talent and more companies around us. So one of the things we worked on is always look at startups, and we work with a company pro bono for a few hours, sometimes more than this, and try to spark something. But also we're working with unusual startups. I think if Maine wants to make a difference, is we have to think outside of the box, like I said earlier, and bring things that we don't have. So we have a lot of services, professional services in Maine, which is a good thing. You know, we could have more banks and things like this. Maine is never going to be like Alabama with a big car factories. I don't think we have the talent, but I don't think we can bring the talent here to, you know, have 3,000 workers, you know, building cars. But I think we can become unique north of Boston with technology, biotechnology, light manufacturing, and creative industries. So, for example, I've been involved with the Wellness Connection of Maine, one of the successful medical marijuana dispensary operator. And that company created over 65 employees and really is a thought leader in a new industry. I would hope that, for example, we could become thought leaders in a new industry like this, using the state laws, right, to create something that is unique. Another thing we've been involved with is the Circus Conservatory of America. And the Circus Conservatory of America is a non-for-profit. And so,
and where is that based out of?
It's based here in Portland, out of Thompson Point.
Okay.
And Peter Nielsen, who's the executive director of the Circus Conservatory of America, had a vision, and Chris Thompson from Thompson Point really helped the Circus Conservatory of America to become real here in Portland. And here's the idea. So it's a non-for-profit, and here's how I look at it. It's a non-for-profit, so you're going to tell me, well, how people are going to make money, how are we going to grow the state? Well, it's an industry that is growing. The circus industry is really big. I mean, the Cirque du Soleil out of Montreal has 7,000 employees and just got sold for $1.5 billion. So, and they were created out of a school in Montreal that started in the early 80s.
It's an amazing success story.
Yeah, it's
really
a success story. Let's not be afraid of creating a success story like this, and let's have our community support projects like this. Because how the way I look at it is, over the next 2 or 3 years, with the support of donations, we could create a school here in Portland that would attract kids or young adults to go through college and become circus artists. Let's say it's 100 or 150 students a year. Well, they're all going to end up in a big company like the Cirque du Soleil. We're going to become a feeder of the Cirque du Soleil, which means that that facility is going to attract new shows from that type of circus and new artists. And then Maine ends up being on the map. So all indirectly, we're all going to benefit from it. Maine's going to end up having a good marketing. We're going to have more jobs created around it. Business is going to be created around it. Because, you know, they're going to spark some stores and some small startups. So I see the startup activity in Maine being for profit on one side with technology and things like it, but also on the outside of the box, non-profit, very risky, not risky financially, but risky as far as new idea, because that's what Maine is. It's a special place.
You know, Maine does have a unique demographic, no question about it. One of the challenges, of course, you know, is to keep young people here, right? And correct, as well as bring young talent in. There is some success if you look at some of the tech areas, Tyler Technology, some of the Tulsa Technology, some of the tech areas, we're seeing some success in that.
Yep.
But outside of that, it really is a challenge to get young people to come to Maine. And by the way, we're talking with Jacques Santucci, his Opus Consulting Group. It really is a challenge here in Maine to keep them engaged and staying in the local area. Very easy to bring older people back, right? You know, they leave, they go, oh, I loved Maine, I come back. How do we solve that problem, though? What are some of the things that, you know, we need to do to make that happen?
Well, I don't have a crystal ball, unfortunately, and I don't have the special potion, you know, who's going to solve it. But my two cents is that we have to get stronger on the education side, and we have to bring capital here to create companies that are going to keep the youth here. So Maine has good colleges, you know, let me rephrase this, because I don't want to judge any colleges. I'm assuming they're all good, but, you know, known colleges like Bowdoin College or Colby College or Bates. But most of those students, from what I hear, don't stay in Maine. They're going to move on, and although some wants to stay, they can't really find a job. So they move on and they go to Boston, New York, or Los Angeles.
Right. Well, it's more glamorous, right? In the perception, yeah, it's a much more glamorous place.
I had an intern 3 years ago, a very talented young man, and as soon as he was done with Bowdoin College, he went to work in San Francisco, and he works for Dropbox now. You know, there was no way we could keep him. I mean, I wish we could, but, you know, he moved on. So, the programs that the university in Maine is offering, to me, seems very confusing and lack of strategy. So I know a lot of people are working on it, and I'm not going to pretend I know what needs to be done. But looking from the outside, knowing that it's only 1,300,000 people living in Maine and having all those different names and different own university, how can we compete against, you know, University of Rhode Island or New York or all those universities that have a better reputation? So it feels to me that we can improve the programs, but also the marketing around it, so those kids have a chance to feel that, you know, they can market themselves. And, you know, only Maine makes a difference between Orono and Portland, and, right? And between Gorham and Orono, we are the only one who makes a difference. So that's, I think, there's an education piece that we can improve, but also bringing more capital. And there's a lot of capital available in Maine, but most of the wealthy individuals usually actually invest outside of Maine because it's not easy to find a place where to invest. So like I said earlier, there's a lot of good opportunities being created through the Maine venture funds and the Top Gun program and all those economic development program. But I think it's up to, you know, you, David, through your company and my company and all the listeners to do their piece and try to create opportunities and give a chance to new companies. that's going to not only bring money back to their investors, but also create wealth so we can create jobs.
You know, you say, and we've talked about this off the air, you said that the definition of success in Maine seems different. What do you mean by that?
Well, that was something that really struck me and my wife when we moved from Paris. So it feels to me that when we were working for international companies out of Europe, the bar is very high, and you always work with people that challenge you all the time. And success is beyond the ceiling. It's actually beyond the sky, and there's no limit for success, and you always push the limit. Well, moving here, it feels like I worked on some projects, but, well, it's okay, right? We have a technology that's 5 years old. That's okay. It's working. Don't break it. It's not broken. Don't fix it. The definition of success is lower than when you go to Boston. And I think that's also why we're losing some young adults, because they want more. And they come back when they have a family and kids. But when they're 23, 24, they want more. They want the latest technology. They want to look. They want to be part of a company that's thinking outside of the box. They want a new way of management. You know, Maine's. And again, I don't want to criticize any of the companies or listeners, but it feels like the type of management that you hear through our clients is 25 years old, and then you read Fast Company about companies in New York and Boston and Los Angeles, and they're coming up with a way where the board of directors is really advising, and the CEOs don't even share the same offices than the CFO, and they're using new technology. Maine is risk adverse. So it feels to me that the definition of success is different.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Guys, when you buy your clothes at DXL, you look good. But you feel like a rock star. So if you want to look and feel like a... You'll find all the brands you love, waist size 38 and up, all in one awesome store. DXL, you're looking good. Right now, Harbor Bay tees are just $19.99 each when you buy two or more.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB and presented by CMAcareer.com. Today we're talking with Jock Santucci. He is the Opus Consulting Group principal.
Correct.
And guru here in Maine. All right, we'll give you a new title today. What do you
All right.
You okay with that?
Oh, I've got plenty of titles.
I bet you do.
Actually, I don't even have a title on my business card. Because, titles don't mean anything. It's what you do.
It's exactly true. Exactly true. In the first segment here, we talked a lot about some of the challenges and issues, and you brought up the issue of large company versus small company. Maine is predominantly small companies. I can pretty much count on one or maybe two hands, depending on what demographic I'm using, in terms of the number of large organizations here. And frankly, there are certainly a lot of reasons why larger, bigger, massive companies go to South Carolina or North Carolina or other states than come to Maine. And so Maine is predominantly small business, mom and pop operations, and there's nothing wrong with that. But from an employment standpoint, to employ thousands of people, let's say we wanted to bring in a large manufacturer. I mean, we do have one, Pratt & Whitney, a very large manufacturer, employs thousands of people. Portsmouth Naval Shipyard, again, another large BIW, another large one.
L.L. Bean,
another large one. We're starting to run out of companies. I mean, you could say WEX, well, you could say IDEX, you could
no,
say...
No, but that's correct. Know. I mean, yeah, this is a state where there's not that many big companies. And I think earlier this month or last month, there was an article by Inc. with the number of you know, the Inc. 5,000 or 10,000, whatever the name is. And I was looking at the ratings, and there is good companies in the list, but they all, you know, in the bottom, and we're not on the top. So Maine is definitely a small business, which I like. I love working with small businesses and talking about their growth or talking to business owners about their exit strategy. And but on the employment side, it's true that, you know, it's not easy to have a sustainable economy with so fewer big companies. So I'm not a big proponent of you know the gigantic, you know, groups, but you know they create a speed that we need somehow, right? If I can say it that way. As I was saying earlier, I had the opportunity to have lunch with Governor LePage a few years ago, and one of the conversation we had was around those topics and how do you increase the economy here. And I was comparing the state of Maine as a company. And if we are a company, you and I and all of us around here are the workers. And I'm going to assume that we're pretty good workers, right? We are the workers, at least 99.9% of us. And then if you look at the administration, right, let's not get out of the politics. Let's assume that the state of Maine is doing a pretty good job as you know, managing our financing finances and things like this. But then, just like any big companies, you have a CEO, and the CEO is our governor. And if we, you know, you and I, we have our own businesses, David, and I know what you do for your biggest client every year. Mm-hmm. You take them out for lunch, maybe for a golf tournament or maybe dinner, or send them at least some chocolates for Christmas. So I was asking Governor LePage, you know, if you're the CEO, what would you do? He says, same thing. I'll probably take them, you know, take them out somewhere. So who's our biggest employer in Maine? It's Hannaford. So he said, when's the last time you went to Belgium to talk to the Delays group and ask them about keeping the headquarters of Hannaford here in Maine? Because Hannaford has been moving out of Maine for the past 5-6 years.
Absolutely.
And nobody's talking about it, really. I mean, there's still great workers at Hannaford, but the headquarters is now in South Carolina, I believe.
Right. And there's a new purchase that's just coming through, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, exactly. So now it's even a bigger European group, and everything's going to be centralized in South Carolina. So I said, when's the last time you went to Belgium? When's the last time you went to France for that group, or Germany, or Mexico, or even to the other side of the country to say, hey, keep the jobs in Maine? He says, never. And we don't do this. And that's something I think we have to work on, is keep... I know the company who brought me in the U.S., we moved the company 2 years later and moved to Maryland. And you and I, we know a lot of companies. Fairchild is moving out of town. You know, TD Bank still has a lot of employees here, but talented employees. But the headquarters is now somewhere in New Jersey, or maybe, you know, can't remember even where they are. So we have to find a way to balance between big businesses and keep the large businesses we have, because I'm afraid one day L.L. Bean could move out of Maine. And who are we working on it to make sure that it doesn't happen? And so on the other side, we have all the small businesses that are trying to create their own market, and they kind of stuck in a market here where the stigma is, because of those big companies that we don't have, then everybody think that we're all in the boonies. And
that's true.
And I mean, I had some meetings with investors coming from New York for a company 3 years ago. And when we picked them up at the hotel, they were wearing short sleeves and jeans. I met them before in New York. They had really nice suit and ties. When we picked them up here, they were in jeans and relaxed. I says, and I was with my suit and tie. And they said, oh, if we had known, we would have dressed differently. And I didn't dare saying it because we were trying to sell them something. But I said, what is it that you didn't know? I mean, did you think that we were coming with a tractor and we were going? I mean, what? There is a stigma that we need to change, and it's by having bigger company that shows that we are top notch, so the smaller companies that we all like can thrive and bring the talent that's going to help them grow.
That's well said. That's well said, because it's an interesting dynamic that. I'm gonna segue a little bit on this because I think it goes to it. You know, I've said for a number of years, and I've said it publicly, I've said it privately, I am concerned that the education system is not providing the business savviness to our students. They may be providing education, that can be debated, but students are coming out and they don't necessarily understand business protocol, business etiquette.
Yep.
Suit, tie, or when to appropriately be business casual, when appropriate to wear denim, when appropriate and how to speak and not to text and to use full sentences in English language. So it is a cultural change that for whatever reason has really created this challenge for businesses. I hear it all the time.
You know, I see also something in a cultural conversation here, but... So my kids are growing up here in the States. They were born here. And I see the difference with the education that I got. And I'm realizing here in this country, everybody's number one. There's no number two. Everybody gets a medal. And so they go to college and, they pumped. Like, you know, U.S. is the USA, biggest country in the world. U.S. college is so good that, you're going to strike all the time. And then you never number two. You get a medal even if you're number 65. Well, so when you get to the workforce, when you get to the real world, they don't realize that, that's not exactly how it happens, because sometimes you're really number two and you just have to stay in the corner and take some notes. And by the way, you know, you don't call me dude, because I'm your boss and you don't dig it, right? So I know you might have been to a big college, but there's no things like this. And so I think that's something also we got to... I'm a big fan of getting interns, and paid interns, because slavery got abolished a long time ago, so you have to pay people. But you don't have to pay them a lot of money, but you know, at least a minimum wage. And but having interns, you know, having a 19-year-old, a 21-year-old, and get them to the copier. I got the thing last year. We had an intern, and I said, "Hey, can you do some copies?" And I could tell she never used a copier before. And so I said, it was like 10 copies with the stapler, right?
Yes.
So I saw, you know, a big stack of a lot of paper, and she was stapling. And I said, you know, copiers nowadays are really good. You see that button that looks like a stapler? If you click on it, the copier is going to do it for you. Well, we have to teach the kids things that they don't learn in college, and that you can be number 10 and it's okay, because the goal is to be number one by learning how to press stapler on the copier and be a lot faster at using the copier.
How about asking questions?
Right? How about absolutely.
How about simply asking questions? Yep. Though I will say that there are some technological advances to the youth today, no question.
Oh, yes.
They can really streamline your operation if you give them the flexibility to show you new ways of doing things.
Yes.
Many times they'll go, you know, there's an app for that.
Yes.
And
that's the partnership you get with interns and younger people, because they get things from you that you have to tell them, and incentivize them to ask questions, but be also okay to that they're going to teach you something. You know, for sure on apps, they're much better than we are.
Oh, no question about that. No question about that. You know, in talking about this, in talking about the balance, one of the other things that we talk about is nonprofits. Maine is a very large nonprofit community.
Yes.
Okay? It's a huge, and it has its own unique challenges.
Yes.
Right? It has its own unique issues. Forget about the tax side of it, or forget about the grant side of it for a moment.
Yep.
Let's stick that for a moment. We'll get back to funding in a little bit in another segment. Attracting talent, because nonprofit historically, unless you're talking about large nonprofit, does not pay the same way that private sector does, but it feels good.
Yes.
Right? Where do you see some of the challenges of how to deal with the nonprofit situation in terms of keeping them, you know, afloat in terms of this economy?
Yeah, it is a big challenge, and unfortunately, the nonprofit term is such a big bucket, and we put so many things in this bucket. But I see some nonprofits being an engine for the economy. We talked earlier about the Circus Conservatory of America, which I think, as a nonprofit, if the community is behind it, could change the shape of Portland on the creative side, and then bring talents that we don't have, and bring tourism. But it's a unique challenge, because you cannot invest and make money out of directly out of a non-for-profit. But if it's done correctly, you can actually invest in a non-profit to create to make a change, and it's, you know, a social change. Economic change, and I think, you know, it's very important. That said, not all nonprofit are equal, and a lot of the challenge is that a lot of nonprofit are run like a black hole, and it feels like when you talk nonprofit, you don't want to have the same metrics. Nonprofit don't fit in the save money and make more money profile. You know, hire people and things like this. So, you know, that's also a challenge.
Well, you know as well as I do, a good nonprofit should run as a for-profit.
Absolutely.
Period.
I didn't know how to say it. Thank you for saying it.
That's exactly right. A good nonprofit should be run like a for-profit. Yes. If you do that, you will probably survive.
Yes.
If you run as a traditional nonprofit model, it will feel good, but you'll probably run out of money.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
I mean, right.
A nonprofit should not be an excuse for an executive director to get a job. It should be run as a for-profit, and your income comes from donations, and you have to use every penny as just like they were yours, just like if there was a company for profit. At the end of the year, there should be a profit that you reuse, you invest in the company. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I have heard many times that a lot of nonprofit organizations have said, well, you know, we do good work. They do.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
No question. And we just, you know, we have to spend it because they need it, whoever they is in terms of the category. Yes, but if you're out of business in another year, then who's been served at that point, right? I mean, that's the question I always ask. You have to be fiscally responsible.
I mean, we have very good nonprofit leaders in Maine. I'm sure you heard of Sam Beal at Big Brother Big Sister, who's done an amazing job for the community. And he's retiring now, and hopefully he's listening and is listening. And he's done a very good job, you know, growing a non-for-profit. The Center for Grieving Children has done a very good job, you know, in 20-something years, you know, even buying their own building and creating a community around it. And that creates an economy that Maine can profit from.
No question. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back. Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
You make the decision to buy the home, then you're faced with what's next? What do we do?
We started at Realtor.com.
Realtor.com gave us a lot more current information.
Listings are pulled directly from the MLS every 15 minutes.
Once you've gone through all of that, the Realtor makes it happen.
We worked with the Realtor that really knew the area.
And he knew the market.
When you have someone who has the expertise, it makes it so much easier.
Realtor.com and Realtors. Together, we make home happen. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAKorea.com. Today, we've been talking with Jacques Santucci. He's Opus Consulting Group. It's a management consulting firm based here in Portland, Maine. We were talking about large companies, small companies, reasons for employment here in Maine, reasons to stay in Maine. We've talked about a lot of things. I want to hit one more topic before we get into the things you do and the things you can help companies with. This has to do with technology. And so we're both carrying smartphones, though I dare say I heard you use the word BlackBerry. It's that's like 9,000 years ago, but it's okay.
It's much better than iPhone, but that's an entire new show.
Entire new show on technology. Actually, I have heard the new BlackBerries are pretty good. So having said that, the challenge in Maine, and you can talk to Tilson Technology, where they put in the three-ring binder project. You can talk about satellite technology. You can talk about putting up cell phone towers. Technology is still very sporadic here in Maine. And I recognize part of the state, there's nobody living there. So it's the wilderness.
And that's the conundrum. You know, it's such a big state with so few people living. Any company want to install cell phone towers? We worked on a project of a company installing cell phone towers for the GSM technology. You know, there's some places in Maine. There's not enough people that's worth putting the antennas, and it's a challenge. I mean, we're talking about the highway. You know, it's a challenge to connect Quebec with New Brunswick and going through Maine. And, hopefully one day we'll find a way that environmentally it's acceptable to, have a east-west highway. And it is a challenge. And it's a challenge, too, for companies to offer benefits to because, Maine needs to have benefits. I'm a big proponent of universal health care, and I'm a big fan of the Obamacare. Although, I think it's just a first step. It could be much better. Everybody, I think, agrees on this. But I think it's good that companies start offering benefits so our workforce has a chance to, feel good at home and can go to the doctors and things like this. All those things are conundrums that Maine is facing. And I think it's all our business leaders and probably state leaders, but I think all business leaders can all come together and help. And we have this. I mean, Maine has great organization like Maine and Company who help companies to come to Maine, and there's a few business leaders are in that organization. Those are all the things that can help us go to the next step. And our company, Opus Consulting Group, and all the affiliates that we work with are working towards that direction.
You know, one of the things that I hear in terms of attracting talent to Maine, and because obviously, we're at CMA, we do executive search and bring talent into the state. And some of the challenges are not only the basic things, like what is your spouse going to do when you get here, right? Mm-hmm. That's one of the big challenges. There's also the tax structure. There's also the cost of living, which is people are very surprised at how high it is for being in the state of Maine, for being where we are. And there are other factors involved with this. And that's a bigger picture and a bigger debate, but in terms of the statewide or the business-wide. But companies are really struggling with that. You know, we talked with the head of HR for IDEX, Giovanni Twigg, and he talked about the fact of they have a great organization. They grow in leaps and bounds. It's about finding talent and keeping it. It's a challenge.
It's finding talent and also finding capital. And, there's a lot of good ideas in Maine that don't find capital. There's no venture capital firms per se in Maine. Some are state funded, and actually, it's something we are working on now We are trying to bring more capital to Maine to spark some businesses and spark businesses so our investors or so investors can get the return, but also the companies have a chance to grow, and then we can create jobs and keep them here.
Yeah, you're talking about this new project that you're setting up, Opus Ventures, a venture capital firm centered in Maine for Maine opportunities, not only bringing capital to technology or promising manufacturing companies, but also bringing management expertise to emerging companies.
Yeah, we found, working with our clients, that a lot of startups that we work with in the past few years, they call us for their financial modeling and their business plan and their strategy and starting their operation, but they need money. And there's not too much money available very quickly. And even if we were doing a good job with the business plan and the financial modeling, we didn't have the money available for them, and by the time you find the investors, it takes time and blah, 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 blah. So we said, well, wait a second, there is an opportunity here, because I also get a lot of phone calls from investors saying, hey, I really like what you've done for that project in South Portland, or I like what you're doing here and there. Next time you have an opportunity, give me a call. I'd like to put some money in it. And so we thought, how about we meet the two side of the equation here, and we create a venture capital that's going to raise money from people who want to invest in Maine and Northern New England, and but also know that we are going to be involved. So they know that a consulting firm is going to be involved with the company. And then on the company side, they can work with us so we can continue to do the work we're doing with them. But they also know we can be involved with them and bring some consulting. So by coupling the venture capital and the consulting practice, we hope that we're going to be able to, you know, have those two end of the equation meet and create some opportunities.
You know, we're talking about opportunities here in Maine. And again, we're talking with Jacques Santucci from Opus Consulting Group here
in
Portland.
And now Opus Ventures.
Yeah, and now Opus Ventures, right? We'll have to say them both here. You know, we've been talking about how to get this Maine's economy moving. That's basically what we've been talking about here today. Your group, from the venture side, you've kind of described it a little. Your group focuses on a business acceleration, which is business plan, financial modeling, growth strategies, corporate renewal, turnaround, reorganization, and, of course, exit strategies, planning for the future. Before we get into a little bit more about those specifics, a lot of activity in Maine in terms of acceleration. I know there is a lot of exit strategy because baby boomers are retiring. Yep. Tell me a little bit about the mix that's happening.
Well, actually, on the exit strategy, I was surprised. There's a lot of baby boomers, but not too many of them seems to be working on their exit strategy. I've been very surprised. We invested in methodologies and education, and I was very surprised that I don't hear that much of exit strategy planning. And we hear about companies being sold, but not the planning. And I think it's more a reaction that's happening now. So I think it's probably going to change in the next few years where, you know, baby boomers going to start realizing, how about I work on it for a couple of years before I make a quick decision? But on the business acceleration, we also see some activity. There's I would say 10 to 15 pretty promising companies right now in around Portland there in Maine with new technologies. And there's some companies that are growing pretty fast. We obviously don't work with all of them, but we happen to work with a couple of promising kind of mid-sized company. And yeah, there's still a lot of work to do, though.
Well, you know, it's a needed area. If you're talking about it, especially business planning and financial modeling, that's not an area that a lot of business owners think about, right? They just think about doing their thing day in, day out.
Yep.
I need to have my daily things that happen and payroll and making widgets or making services. So,
and also, what we find is that some people are getting stuck in the way they think. And by having the feedback of you could look at it a different way, or did you think about these expenses, or they are not comfortable with somebody challenging them. And I guess maybe, you know, we're all like this. You know, we don't like when your neighbor says, you know, I don't like the way you're doing it. But
especially if we're married.
That's right.
Well, you know, but it's an education, is it not?
Yep. Well, the clients that we work with who embrace that feedback and that consultant and incubator at the very big sense of the word, you know, not only for startups but, you know, for other companies, they like it because they have somebody that's very flexible that can give them the strategy they need, the answers they need, and, oh, you know, maybe it's a little bit more expensive, but, you know, you don't have us all day long, so at the end it's actually very cost effective. And that's how we see it. We're working on a couple of projects since the beginning of the summer, where people started with a project, with an idea. I'm thinking about a project right now. I can't really talk about it exactly in detail. But
of course.
They started with a project in mind, and it's morphing in something different just by talking about it, exchanging ideas. So, you know, hopefully it's going to end up being a nice company for Portland and creating some jobs and creating some awareness of what Maine can do. But, you know, they could have done it without anybody else, you know, in their bedroom. And maybe they would have not had those, you know, interactions that bring them to the next level.
Well, I think the key is that, look, a lot of people may think to themselves, hey, I probably could use some help. But, you know, things are tight. Things are a challenge here in Maine. You know, I have to know there's an ROI.
Yes.
Right? Because that's what business owners ask. So address that issue about what somebody could see in terms of a return on investment or ROI for investing in advice like that.
You know, to me, it's a life decision. You can drive a beat-up Subaru or you can drive a Rolls Royce. You still will get to Hannaford or Shaw's to do your shopping. It depends how you want to get there, how fast you want to get there, how much stuff you want to put in your car, and how you want to feel the air conditioning. So, at the end, it's really a way to progress and how fast you want to do it. The ROI to me is if you work with the right talent, consultant or not consultant, employees or non-employees, it doesn't matter how you get paid. It's the result. So, if you're working with the right people, like people in your firm, right? It doesn't matter as long as you bring what the client needs, you know, and more and beyond their expectation. Then at that point, you know, you're driving a really nice car and you're on the highway and you're going faster. At the end, you could take your bicycle and don't spend anything and don't even pay gas. At some point, you'll get there too.
You're absolutely correct. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. We're having more fun than we should be allowed here, right, Jack?
Absolutely, we're having fun.
Absolutely. We're talking with Jack Santucci. He is the Opus Consulting Group principal, and we're talking about a lot of great stuff, which I'm telling you, if you listen to the show today, you will have learned quite a bit about real perceptions here in Maine and how to really think about different ways of doing things. You know, in the last segment, we briefly discussed your new concept, a new project called Opus Ventures. And you wanted to talk a little bit more about that. So go ahead. Give us a little bit more of a perspective on what that is.
So I explained a little bit earlier how we came up with to the conclusion that we need to match investors with promising emerging companies. And I've been very fortunate to work with really good talent since I moved to Maine, and for sure in the past 5-6 years with the team that we assembled. And, you know, just like you, talent to me is what drives the company. You need capital, but talent bring is very important. So, you know, the team that I've got around me is very talented, very committed. And they're not only committed to the company and the client, but they're also committed to the state of Maine and the economy. And they go beyond what is on their job description. And so by looking at the need for investors to invest in Maine and the need for companies to who needs capital and the talent that we have around us, I think Opus Ventures, and coupled with the talent of Opus Consulting Group, has a chance over the next few years to, you know, find those startups and then bring something a little bit different to Maine. We also have been very fortunate to work with great clients. We usually work for a long time with our clients, just like any consulting companies. We have smaller clients, but overall, all our clients have been working with us for 3, 4, 5 years, and it feels like we are creating a small network of like-minded business people, and that's why I'm really hopeful that our Opus Venture project, who is raising capital now and is talking to companies to invest, will make a difference in Maine in the next few years by hopefully create the next IDEX.
Well, you know, it's all about connecting the right people. And we all know that capital is important. I mean, if nothing else, all small business understands that cash is king.
Yes.
Because cash flow is everything.
Yes.
To make sure that it makes it work. And that's the only way that people get paid and products get delivered and services get produced. So the reality is those are all critical things that have to happen. You know, I really appreciate you taking the time today to discuss with us this opportunity that's happening in terms of your world and to talk about your organization and to give some thoughts about how we can grow Maine and grow this economy.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for doing this show, because I think you're also helping the economy to grow a little bit.
Well, you know, we try to educate. That's what we try to do, and we put on great guests like you to make that happen. And now your HR tip of the week. 7 performance management tips for supervisors. Supervisors play a critical role in promoting employee commitment, motivation, and retention, and are key in developing and nurturing staff. Here are some useful strategies for promoting enhanced employee and organizational performance. 1, set meaningful, attainable expectations. 2, approach this process as a collaborative effort. 3, provide employee access to the necessary tools and resources. 4, continually assess and communicate progress. 5, provide coaching. 6, provide employees with mid-year performance progress reviews. And 7, demonstrate appreciation of employee performance. That's according to the Office of Human Resources at the National Institutes of Health. And that's your HR Tip of the Week. Next week on the HR Power Hour, Julie Rabinowitz, Director of Policy, Operation, and Communications for the Maine Department of Labor, talks about the legislative update for the 127th State Legislature. New bills, things that didn't make it through, and trends you need to watch. That's on the next HR Power Hour. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.